one who does not have his power of sight.
One who does not have his power of sight.
Andasya. For such a blind person.
Yata.
As. Agranihi. The leader who goes first. Kritaha.
Accepted.
Tata. Similarly. Janasya.
Such a person.
Avidushaha.
Who has no knowledge of the goal of life.
Abudaha.
A foolish rascal.
Guru,
the spiritual master.
Tvam, your lordship. Arthadrik,
appear like the sun.
Sarvadrisham,
of all sources of knowledge.
Samikshanaha,
the complete seer.
Vritaha,
accepted.
Guru,
the spiritual master.
Naha,
our.
Swagatim,
one who knows his real self-interest.
Vabhutsatam,
such an enlightened person.
Oh, I'm speaking completely into it. It's really low.
It's extremely low. The only other way I could speak would be to swallow it, and I've already lost some of my teeth, so I don't need to lose more.
Okay, so that's better.
Feedback.
Too much?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Outside the
interview. Okay. You got to turn it. The volume that goes to the computer is what you really have to turn on, because that's what they're complaining about online. So, translation, as a blind man being unable to see accepts another blind man as his leader. People who do not know the goal of life accept someone as a guru, who is a rascal and a fool. We are interested in self-realization. Therefore, we accept you, the Supreme Personality, Godhead, as our spiritual master, for you are able to see in all directions and are omniscient like the sun. So you can repeat.
As a blind man,
being unable to see,
accepts another blind man as his leader.
People who do not know the goal of life
accept someone as a guru
who is a rascal and a fool.
But we are interested in self-realization.
Therefore, we accept you,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
as our spiritual master.
For you are able to see in all directions
and are omniscient like the sun.
So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki.
The conditioned soul, being wrapped in ignorance and therefore not knowing the goal of life, accepts a guru who can juggle words and make some display of magic that is wonderful to a fool. Sometimes a foolish person accepts someone as a guru because he can manufacture a small quantity of gold by mystic yogic power. Because such a disciple has a poor fund of knowledge, he cannot judge whether the manufacture of gold is the criterion for a guru. Why should one not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, from whom unlimited numbers of gold mines come into being? Aham sarvasya prabhu matak sarvam avartate. All the gold mines are created by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, why should one accept a magician who can manufacture only a small portion of gold? Such gurus are accepted by those who are blind, not knowing the goal of life. Maharaj Satyavrata, however, knew the goal of life. He knew that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he accepted the Lord as his guru. Either the Supreme Lord or his representative can become guru. The Lord says, Mameva ye purpajante vayam etam turantite. One can get relief from the clutches of Maya as soon as he surrenders unto me. Therefore, it is the guru's business to instruct his disciple to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead if he wants relief from the material clutches. This is the symptom of the guru. The same principle was instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Yare Deka, Akarika, Krishna, Upadesh. In other words, one is advised not to accept a guru who does not follow the path of instruction given by Lord Krishna. So, Achakshurandashitagrani Kritas, Tatajanasyavadisho Buddho Guru, Vam Arkadrik Sarvadrisham Samikshano, Vito Guru Nasagatim Bhutsatam. So, Om Ganatimadandasha, Gananjana Shlakaya Chatsur, Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurvaina Maha. Now there's a very similar verse in the Bhagavatam. Natevitu Swartagatim Hi Vishnu, Durasya Yevati Artha Manina, Anda Yatanda, Upaniyamana Stefi Shatantrum, Urudamni Vada. So, actually, that verse says exactly the same thing. Nate vidhu, they do not know. Swartha gatim, their interest, swa artha, swa means their interest. Gatim, goal, he Vishnu, is Vishnu. Nate vidhu, swartha gatim, he Vishnu. Durashaya, their intelligence is clogged. They're looking outside. Their mind is actually looking outside at external things. Now, I'm giving a literal translation. Andar yatandar. Same thing is mentioned here. Andar yatandar. That they are blind people being led by other blind people. Tepi shatantramur damni bada. That because they're bound in that way, they both fall into a ditch. So this, actually the verse says exactly the same thing. So the first point is to know what the goal of life is. You know, what is the purpose? And in philosophy, the study of purposes is called teleology. There's a lot of ologies. You know, biology, all these different ologies. But it's interesting, actually, I was just listening to a class, Rita Nandamar's, that the study of the stars is not called astrology. Because the, it's interesting, the astronomers, they came last to that particular word, you understand? The astrologers got the word first, so they call it astronomy, not astrology. Because astrology is actually the study of the different stars, how it affects you, and you know what's going to happen in your life, and who's going to marry you, who's going to kill you. That's astrology. The study of the stars and how they influence your life. So, therefore, those who study the stars in the academic world didn't get that name. It went to the astrologers anyway. That's a side thing. So anyway, so teleology means the study of purposes. You know, what's the purpose? And those who do not know the goal of life, they look at the material world and say, there's no purpose. Everything happens either by chance or whatever, but it's not, there's no brain behind things. So you look, you know, what's the purpose? And that's one of the questions I asked my mother, who didn't know the purpose of life, unfortunately. I said, Mother, what is the purpose of life? You know, why am I here? Where am I going at the time of death? And basically, she said, well, she did give me a purpose. She said the purpose is to enjoy. She was a follower of Charvaka Muni. Charvaka Muni is actually the Epicurean in the Vedic culture. Epicurus is the person in the Western culture who advised, you know, just pig out, basically. I'm course, paraphrasing, he didn't use that word. Just because you're going to die one day. And Charvakamuni, he had a very similar philosophy, actually the same philosophy, just in the Vedic culture. In the Vedic culture, and they said, pigging out, it's Begwara steel, get yourself some ghee. Because the understanding in the Vedic subculture is actually much more refined. If you want to enjoy the material world, you have to eat food cooked in ghee, right, Purva?
Right.
He said, right on. Maharaj was just like, he agrees with me. So, so therefore, when we were originally preaching in the Krishna, well, I am preaching, trying that, but when we were originally running the Krishna conscious movement, everything was cooked in ghee, right? And then so many people joined, I joined because of ghee. I remember eating the first pakoras in my life that were cooked in ghee, and I was just like, wow, I remember the taste to this day. Now, of course, it's, you know, big bars, deal, put yourself some oil. That's it. Anyway, whatever, I'm not going to comment on that. And, of course, I do advise people who are preaching to new people, make something in ghee, because if Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur said, if you want to keep a servant, you cook them a balam rice in ghee and they'll never leave, because they'll always remember the taste. So, that's another issue. So, some people say that that's the purpose. Just enjoy, because you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, nothing's going to happen at the time. That when you're dead, you're dead. That's what my mother said. When you're dead, you're dead. And actually, it's interesting. And interesting also, my grandmother said the same thing until she was getting ready to die. Then she said, what happens? So when people can no longer enjoy because they're too old, you know, the bodily senses are no longer cooperating, no longer able to help you enjoy, they become dull. Then they become interested in spiritual life. So basically, people who are thinking that the whole purpose of life is to enjoy and there's nothing that happens at the time of death, you know, you just finish, then they will approach people who will help them in their sense gratification. And even religion nowadays, at least to a large extent in America, then they're preaching this type of religion that's where you get some wealth and you get happiness, and that means God has blessed you. I forget the exact name of that type of religion. But anyway, God has blessed you if you're wealthy, if you're happy, if your wife is beautiful. And so therefore you see so many of the modern ministers, they get up on the stage and they have a trophy wife next to them. I don't know if you know what a trophy wife is, but a trophy wife means like blonde hair and, you know, just like, wow. And then you think, and then that's religion. But really that's misleading. Because that what that does is entangles one further in this material world, and as they say, both fall in a ditch. It entangles one further in the material world, and one doesn't realize the purpose, and then one goes down in the evolutionary system. One takes a lower birth. So therefore, we have to find out, basically, what is the purpose of what happens at the time of death? That's the real question. Who am I? Where did I come from? What happens at the time of death? And find someone who can answer those questions. Actually, there's one of the nutshell verses in the Bhagavatam. No, that's not the verse, but anyway, the verse states that one should be looking for the absolute truth everywhere. And I forget the Sanskrit for that verse. It's one of the nutshell verses of the Bhagavatam. So therefore we should be finding someone who can guide us in understanding this. And there's several standards according to the Vedic system as to who is an appropriate person to guide us. It's not simply let's say someone who has a lot of charisma, or someone who, like the Bhagavad Saptaha reciters. Prabhupada, I was listening to a class a few days ago, Prabhupada was talking about the Bhagavad Saptaha reciters. He said they're very expert and very dramatic, and they, you know, they really touch people in a very dramatic way. And they're reciting Krishna's pastimes. But can they actually give us or help us understand the purpose of life? So the statement in the Vedic literatures is that if one is looking for a guide or someone to help you or save you in this material world, then the Samitpani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. Those are the three qualities to look for in a guide. And so Samitpani is very interesting. It sometimes is taken as fetching firewood or fetching water. It means that one should be a servant of someone, just unpacking this. It means a servant of someone in disciplic succession. Because it's the disciplic succession is a line of servants. Now, of course, we understand that disciplic succession means passing down the knowledge from one spiritual master to another, untouched, without any change. Of course, one can put it in different language or express it a little bit differently, but the Siddhanta and the Tapa should never be changed. But basically, the disciplic succession is one of servants to master, servant. So everyone's a servant in the disciplic succession. It's a succession of servants, which is a really interesting way to express it. So the first quality of someone who is a bona fide guru or bona fide guide in spiritual life must be that he's a servant. In other words, whatever he or she, I have to be careful using politically correct language, whatever he or she or they, whatever he or she or they do or say must be done with an attitude of service towards the predecessor acharyas. And one should always be asking themselves the question, what would my guru, and of course in my case it's Srila Prabhupada, what would Srila Prabhupada do in this particular instance, or say to me in this particular instance, or advise me in this particular instance? Because we all have different decisions we make in life, on a daily basis and long term in life. What would Srila Prabhupada want? So a bona fide spiritual master is a first class disciple who's always asking the question in his own mind, in his own consciousness, of what would my spiritual master want me to do? And then based upon that, he controls, using his intelligence, he controls the mind and controls the senses. That's actually how we can follow that injunction in the Nectar Instruction, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udara Pashta Vegam. So this is mentioned in the beginning of the Nectar Instruction, one should be able to tolerate the urges of the tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, and words. So the one way one is able to tolerate these things is you're always thinking of what would please my spiritual master. In other words, let's say you feel some anger welling up in your heart. Someone has done something. So you should think, what would my spiritual master want me to do about this? Would he want me? I mean, sometimes anger is appropriate. Like if you're dealing with someone who's blaspheming the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's extremely appropriate to get angry with them, depending on the circumstance, of course. If it's a public forum, and then you have to actually defend the Supreme Personality of Godhead against the Mayavadis and personalists. At that point, it's appropriate. But let's say you're dealing with a disciple, and the disciple, let's say, doesn't cook exactly the right way for you, if they're cooking for you. Is it appropriate to throw the roti back in the chapati? For those of you who don't know what roti is, is it appropriate to scream and yell at them and throw, throw your body back in their face and traumatize the poor person? No, because that will not please your spiritual master, because your duty is to bring the person to Krishna. The guru has to be thinking of what would please his spiritual master, and what would please his spiritual master is bringing the souls to Krishna. So sometimes that requires chastisement, sometimes that requires tolerance. You know, I've experienced sometimes someone will cook for me and it tastes really bad. And I just have to say, that was really nice. Or actually what I do say is, that was interesting. Whenever I say about a preparation that was interesting, that means it really wasn't so good. So, hope no one's listening to this. So, in other words, whatever you do, whatever you say, has to be controlled by that mood of pleasing your spiritual master, which ultimately what pleases the spiritual master is bringing people to Krishna. That's what pleases Prabhupada. I mean, just like that story when Tamal Krishna Maharaj was running the Radha Damodara party, and Prabhupada wanted to bring him back to India. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj knew Prabhupada wanted to bring him back to India, so he was one step ahead of the whole thing. So he presented Prabhupada with all these new devotees that they had made with the Radha Damodara party. Of course, what he didn't tell Prabhupada is that he had stolen them from all the temples, but that's another issue. That the poor Grahastha temple presidents were pulling their hair out because they had lost all their brahmacharis. But anyway, I mean, he presented Prabhupada with all these brahmacharis. And, you know, Prabhupada, that pleased Prabhupada. Oh, new devotees. Prabhupada actually said, you know, someone wrote Prabhupada a letter. I think it was Bali Mardan. He wrote Prabhupada a letter. Oh, I'm preaching in so many places. And then Prabhupada said, what is the use of your preaching? Unless they surrender or give a donation. So, in other words, unless they engage in devotional service, Prabhupada was saying. So we understand Prabhupada's mood. You know, utility is the principle. As Prabhupada said, you know, books are the basis, utility is the principle. Purity is the force, preaching is the essence, like that. So therefore, it's important to understand the mood of the previous acharyas, which is to bring people to Krishna. So that's a samitpani. One is a servant of the previous acharyas. Otherwise, one is not a bona fide guru. And then, of course, the next quality is shrotriyam. One must have heard from the spiritual master. We're so fortunate that in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we can continually hear from Prabhupada. And, you know, every devotee, I remember in the early days of the movement, we would actually have listened to Prabhupada every day. The devotees would listen to Prabhupada every day. And the people with the temple president happened to be Sasrupa Maharaj. That time, or Sasrupa Prabhu, because he was married. Temple president would ask us questions about what Prabhupada says. We had to learn how to understand Prabhupada. Because I remember the first time I listened to Prabhupada's tape at that point, I didn't understand a word he was saying. You know, the accent and everything. Like, it was English, but you know, it was hard to understand. So in this way, we're actually focused on Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's direction, Srila Prabhupada's understanding. So one has to hear regularly. Shru Shrava Shraddha Nanasha Vasudeva Gatavuchi Shan Mahatsevya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishevana. That's service. I mean, sometimes you find devotees saying, I don't have time for chanting, I have so much service. But service, chanting is service. Hearing is service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimadaswa Kata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana Ridyanta Sto Yavadrani Vidanoti Saritsadam. Because without hearing Krishna Kata, then how will the heart become pure so you can serve Krishna? Because Krishna is served with a pure heart. Not just ritualistically. It's real service means to serve with the subtle body as well as the gross body. So therefore, shrotriyam. So that a bona fide spiritual master must have heard from his spiritual master and continued to hear from his spiritual master and repeat the words in his own language so that people can understand. And then finally, Brahmanishtam is the final quality listed. Brahmanishtam means, nishta means basically stable, steady, fixed. And of course that's one of the stages of devotional service. You know, you have this whole hierarchy, ado, shvada, tata, sadhusangota, nartinavritti, bhajanakriya, nartinavritti. And so the stage of nishta is there. But as far as the quality of the spiritual master, he must be nishta 24-7. Another 24-7. There's a type of nishta that's a lower stage of nishta where someone is really fixed in their sadhana. But a higher stage, that is the quality of a spiritual master, is that he must be not only fixed in the sadhana, but fixed throughout the rest of his life. You know, 24 hours a day, just engaged in Krishna's service. I mean, of course, some recreation is allowed. Like if you see your spiritual master playing basketball, it doesn't mean he's not bona fide. I don't play basketball, don't worry. But I remember in the early days, some of the sannyasins were complaining that they had desires, and Prabhupada wrote a letter, I remember, because I was reading Anandamars at that time, that they had some desires that they were struggling with. So Prabhupada said, you know, let them get some sports or recreation. So immediately, I was in Venezuela with Sri Dhananamars when that happened. When we received that letter from Prabhupada, I don't know if that letter is in the database, but it's actually, I remember seeing the letter. So he immediately ran out and started playing basketball every day. He went out, and now the devotee would play basketball because they all thought it was Maya. So he went out and he challenged in Venezuela all these other teams. And he's really good at basketball. He was really good at basketball. So, I mean, some recreation is all right. Actually, Krishna says, one, you have to be moderate in your recreation. You know, keep the body and soul together. You have to eat prasadam. No too much austerity. Not too mityahara viharasya. Not eating too much, not eating too little. Having a balanced life. But that's nishta. So one should find someone who has these qualities to take guidance. Now, the final thing I want to mention here is actually very interesting. It says about the personality of God. It says, our spiritual master, you were able to see in all directions and are omniscient like the sun. So let's talk about what that means in regard to our spiritual master, who may not be Krishna. Actually, Prabhupada is not Krishna. There were a group of sannyasis who were actually making the point years ago that Prabhupada was Krishna. And Prabhupada got so disturbed he kicked him out of the Hare Krishna movement. And later on they came back. But the spiritual master is not the supreme personality of Godhead. So he's not omniscient. Omniscient means to see everything. And as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, as the supreme personality of Godhead, you know, I know the past, present, and future, but a pure devotee is not omniscient. Like to take Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Mahabharata war. It's not that he was omniscient. When he came back to his original Krishna consciousness, which apparently was covered, and that was Yogamaya, not Mahamaya, then he was omniscient in the sense he knew how to use everything in Krishna's service. And he was directed by Krishna. But a pure devotee, and if we begin to think that a pure devotee is omniscient in the same sense as Krishna, that's actually impersonalism. To say that, you know, Prabhupada knows every single atom in the creation. Prabhupada knows what the Martians are thinking. You know, Martians. Prabhupada could give me directions how to fix my phone, which broke yesterday. So, you know, if you think of Prabhupada's omniscient, you know, I had a traumatic experience. My phone broke 2 days ago. And I would have called Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, what should I do with my phone? And Prabhupada would have said, you rascal, what do you think I am? A mystery? A technician? So Prabhupada gave the example of Henry Ford, who was one time accused of being stupid. And there was some sort of arrangement where he could prove or try to prove that he wasn't stupid. So he showed everybody that there was a whole row of buttons. And he said, if I push this button, a specific technologist will come, and he'll answer the question. So who's more intelligent, Henry Ford or the technologist? Of course, Henry Ford, because he didn't have to waste so much time learning about all this ridiculous technology. So the pure devotee, he knows how to use everything in Krishna's service. He sees Krishna everywhere. Yomam pachati sarvatra. He sees Krishna everywhere, and he always thinks of Krishna. That way he's omniscient. When you can see Krishna everywhere and always think of Krishna, you are omniscient, right? Because you're seeing everything. One who knows Krishna, he knows everything. Isn't it? If you know Krishna, you know everything. But you may not know all the little details. So anyway, so the spiritual master is omniscient, not omniscient in the same sense that we generally think of the word omniscient, but he's omniscient in the sense that he's thinking of Krishna all the time. And it's not that, you know, he sees in all directions at all times, but he depends on Krishna who sees in all directions in all times. So these are some of the points here from this verse and purports of any questions or comments. Any questions that come? We have one
more. Krishna is not omniscient.
Yeah. Krishna voluntarily steps down from his omniscience so we can have fun. You know, fun is there when you forget that you're God, if you happen to be God. Well, just like Prabhupada gave you the example of Kennedy, who one time there was an ambassador or some important man waiting to see him, and he just kept the ambassador waiting, and then finally the ambassador looks and sees what Kennedy's doing, and he's playing with his little son and giving him a horseback ride. And so he's forgetting that he's president. You know, so that's the fun. When you remember what your position is, then how can you have fun? If you always, in any position it's like that. Like if I'm just thinking I'm a guru, or I'm a GBC, that's no fun. Fun is I'm a Kadasi chanting 64 rounds. That's fun. Not being in charge of something. On that happy note, unless one happens to be a Kshatriya. We were talking about it last night. For Kshatriya, fun is being in charge. And for a Vaishya, fun is making money. And for Shudra, it's working with technology. All glory to Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.